We will pause a few moments of silent prayer before we resume our study. Rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? And now, Father, as we continue our study, it is our prayer that the Holy Spirit would guide and inform us as we move through our study. We lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We left off at point 18. We're on page 52. I want to review it for you. So the prayer is addressed to God, and the appeal is to ask not of God, but from God. The prayer is addressed to God for wisdom. That is what is desired in this context by the individual believer. And therefore, it leaves a clear understanding that the prayer is vocalized by someone who doesn't have wisdom. And that is the status we all should be in. We assume we do not have the wisdom that we need. God has wisdom. He is the source of it, and He will provide it for us if we ask for it. That's what we see in this passage. The question that is arising as we note these things is, how does He do it? And so the preposition para refers to someone in the general vicinity and therefore is available as an immediate source of this wisdom. The preposition indicates the appeal is, quote, from the immediate source, from God. Therefore, if we are to acquire wisdom, there has to be a system that would provide that for us if we ask God to provide it. I want to show you some diagrams that will amplify this. This shows the instantaneous extra-dimensional communication network. It's instantaneous. When you verbalize a prayer to God, He hears it immediately. In fact, He knew it in eternity past, and your prayer request was in the divine decree at that time. It is extra-dimensional, meaning escapes the universe and goes into the third heaven and does so instantly. It is a communications network. We are to communicate with God in this context, our desire to be provided with wisdom, and He then responds to that request. It is a network in the sense that it is the system of prayer, which you all know, and that system of prayer may be used by anyone at any time who is filled with the Holy Spirit. The diagram, therefore, illustrates this. You have the eternal Logos. That would be the mind of God. He has all of the information. There's nothing He doesn't know. And so He's willing to share a portion of that with us. And that is divine revelation. Divine revelation is where certain individuals received information from God. And then you have divine inspiration when under the ministry of the Holy Spirit, through endowment, they were able to put that into Old Testament passages, books, I should say. And therefore, in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit as well. And so you have divine revelation and divine inspiration. Now, we're taught the Word of God. We can reach a certain point of clarity to realize that we are lacking in a certain very critical area, and that would be the possession of wisdom. And this verse tells us, the very first few verses of the New Testament canon, as far as its chronology is concerned, we find that we should be asking God to send us wisdom, or to make wisdom available to us, or to provide wisdom, etc. So this is something that we should have, because in the few verses we've noted, wisdom is a key to executing not only the Christian way of life, but also wisdom is the kind of thing that the advanced believer is able to utilize as a good witness for the prosecution. So we should desire to have this wisdom, and we're told in the passage to ask God for it. So the believer is filled with the Holy Spirit when he gets this information through the grace apparatus for perception. He understands the request in the context we're noting, and it is epinosis. And therefore, that is going to be fed back by prayer to God. So you see, it's a circular thing here. God initiated this by providing divine revelation. It was retained in a permanent way by divine inspiration. It is extracted through the teaching of the Word of God under the grace apparatus for perception, and under epinosis, the believer prays, he issues a prayer back to God that he would provide wisdom. You can see that this is a process that began in eternity past. I think that the doctrine of the divine decree is an essential doctrine for anyone to really make significant progress in studying the Bible, because you have to understand that God is ignorant of nothing. He's known everything always. And with regard to the human sphere of things, he knew every thought, decision, and action before he even created the universe. The angelic conflict, of course, subsequently raged, and therefore there were some things that transpired during the Luciferian rebellion, and we are called forth to be witnesses for the prosecution in Lucifer's appeal. Therefore, you see the dotted line that goes over to the computer of the divine decree. You have the answer to the prayer. It was provided in eternity past, and that's in the ROM chip. And then the prom is the prayer itself. That is what was understood in eternity past and processed then. I think that if you understand divine decree, you understand the power of prayer. God understood and knew about your prayer in eternity past, and therefore he himself inserted the answers to those prayers in eternity past. So we have the prayer being formulated and therefore enunciated in the prom chip, and the answer to the prayer is in the ROM chip. So all of these things transpired before we were even created, meaning the human race. Now, understanding that, you need to therefore calculate and conclude from this information, which is accurate, that prayer is extremely powerful. Because if you pray under the filling of the Holy Spirit, God is going to answer that prayer in one of four ways. To study those categories, you need to get Basics Book number 4, if you've forgotten that. But get Basics Book 4 and you'll see prayer is answered in one of four ways. But it's always answered if prayed under the filling of the Spirit. And therefore, if you get that, then you understand 2 Chronicles 7, verses 14 and 15, which is a prayer for the client nation. If you pray, and you've got 9 days to do this, if you pray for this client nation that God would spare us over for another year, if you pray that prayer, that in the mechanics of your divine will, we know it is possible for you to bring resolution to the horrible consequences that are on the horizon and to stem them where possible and where necessary. And we await your answer to this prayer. A prayer similar to that, far better phrased, is understood in eternity past, and the answer is in the divine decree, and therefore plays out in time. We have no idea what God's got on his mind, but whatever it is righteous. And we are in a just of whatever. In the context of our study, it means that if you would like to have wisdom, ask for it. And then he is going to provide the answer in the divine decree. He did so in eternity past. Now, to our example, there was a day and there was a time when you were an unbeliever. And at some point you heard the gospel. The Holy Spirit made it real to you under common grace. You understood the idea that faith alone and Christ alone would provide for you eternal salvation and deliverance from the lake of fire. You got the gist of that idea, and you knew through faith alone you could be saved and have eternal life. At some point following that decision, you came to the realization that you were interested in a serious study of the Word of God, and in some manner or fashion you wanted to know more. However that played out for you probably varies with the individual, but you wanted to know more, and the desire to know more, in essence, is a wish, a prayer, a request from God that He would provide you the information. From that point, it was up to God to provide a way to get you the truth, get it in front of you or near you, and to let you therefore have the volitional challenge to grow in grace. And so you think through how you found your way to the Word of God in a serious way. Some of you can go back decades. I know that I can. But it is as fresh in my mind today as it was then. Because personally, when I found a serious exposition of the Word of God, 98% of it I didn't understand, but the 2% I did lit a fire for me to see what else can be found in this thing called the Bible. I'm sure you have a similar experience. It is the process. And the concept here is ask from God the provision of wisdom. And it's up to Him in the divine decree to manipulate and guide and direct things over the course of your life that lead you to that objective. Now, with these things in mind, we can take a look at this system here with which you're familiar. How is it that we get the information? You see it intimated here and put in sort of a diagram form here, but there's revelation to human writers. There are about 40 of them. And that revelation came to these individuals, and then they were inspired, that's inspiration, to write it down. That's the canon. And so with the canon available in two stages, the old and new, the Tanakh and the New Testament, there was interpretation by those who teach. In the New Testament, it's pastors. And they're guided by the Holy Spirit, and therefore, under biblical system of hermeneutics, they dissect the word in the original languages and therefore communicate it. And whoever will and wants can assemble and therefore listen to the communication, can use their free will to accept it and the volitional choices to apply it. And so once you get the information, that's illumination under the power of the Spirit. And then with that information in the cardia, you can make choices to implement what you know as the exigencies and trials of the angelic conflict play out. You make choices either for or against the system. And that's called animation. So this is the process, how all of this transpires, its origin, and bringing it down to the present hour. And with this information, you in essence are asking for wisdom. It got you to a place in the beginning where that wisdom was available to you. And by wisdom, I mean the teaching of the Word of God in a very organized way. Then, as you go through the process, you are moving toward the objective. This is the high ground of the spiritual life, the sophisticated spiritual life, unalloyed happiness, serving God by making right choices. So the way God answers this prayer is to guide the believer to a source of Bible teaching, and through serious study, He will fulfill the request. How did you discover serious study of the Word of God? Everybody has a story. But there is a general theme to that discovery, and it has to do with God providing a source to fulfill the desire to grow in grace. God has to provide a source. Now, the sources vary. There is no particular personality for a pastor. I have mine, and I know that it's odd. Others are real sophisticated when they stand in the pulpit, I'm sure, and have the words roll off the tongue in a homiletic kind of way. But the individual that has the gift can't pretend and put on. He just got to be himself, but he's got to be focused on the Word of God and the communication of it, and that personality has to be that. It varies with the individual, but the issue is the content of what is communicated. That's the issue. And the person that communicates knows nothing. He has to find it from resources, from study, from various kinds of media that provide the information. And then he distills it down into how he understands it to be under the instruction and ministry and education he possesses, and then in his personality communicate it to the people assembled. Not every pastor is everybody's right pastor. That's why there are a lot of pastors. But you go to the person that feeds your soul. Way too often in the 21st century, there are no local sources of Bible teaching available, so that believers with a hunger and thirst for the Word must be led to a remote teacher. And I'm saying here that in client nation America, there are way too many pastors that, in my view and in my belief, because I have taken the time to sort of punch through some of these guys on television, and I've read some of the stuff they write, and that's their business. They, I assume, have the gift of pastor teachers, so that's God's problem. He benefits them in any way that He wishes and guides them and so on. That's their business, okay? But I'm a little bit disappointed that in client nation America, with all the media that's available to us, that better content is not being communicated from the pulpits to congregations that show up by the thousands. And I told you about this old boy down in Houston that I decided to watch down in Shreveport. Everybody was asleep. I was looking for ESPN and couldn't find it. So I ran across this old boy for an hour. He went on and on and on. People were taking notes, rapt attention, and not much was being said. Sort of a prosperity kind of gospel, you know. If you do this, that, and other thing, you'll have a big house and a fine car. Some big number of people, four times a Sunday. But that's their business. My point is that in the freedom that we still have in the First Amendment to go out in pulpits and teach the Word of God, this freedom is not being taken advantage of by a lot of people, and they're teaching people information that do not provide them wisdom. And so that's the issue and the challenge that this client nation has. So there's a need for a remote teacher for many. In this regard, efforts are currently underway to transfer virtually all electronic components of Joe Griffin Media Ministries over to maintenance and supervision by what is called the cloud. This will ensure the consistent availability of several components provided by the website. JGMM presently provides access to live and streamed Bible classes through the website, JoeGriffin.org, which is also accessed through Roku streaming. I've learned about Roku about 2 weeks ago. It's a thing that you can do to your television set and actually get Bible class on the widescreen, 1080p. We're going to have to do some color correction, though. I took a look at this the other day, and my Alabama Crimson blazer was pink. So all of you ladies who fear breast cancer, let's just say that's what that was all about. Okay, Roku streaming plus mobile apps, including Android and Apple iPhones, if you know how to use those. Audio and video streaming is available through multiple platforms, including PCs, Macs, iPads, Android, and Windows tablets, as well as mobile phone support, and I have no idea what all that means. But some of you do. In addition, electronic versions of all of Media Ministries publications may be downloaded from the website a new title, The Gospel's Missionary Journey is Complete. John and I do the best we can, but then we send the completed product down to Shreveport where Glenda Charbonneau edits. It's hard to get a book ready with Glenda involved. She knows grammar. And nevertheless, as soon as she gets through red marking, I'm used to red markings, by the way, so it doesn't shock me. So when that's complete, it'll be published very soon. Over 3,800 hours of Bible classes are available to anyone who is positive to learning the Word of God. Access to this information is made available by grace, and as long as finances allow, these web assets will continue to be provided. So why I'm telling you this is that there is a way to streamline what we do and have consistent maintenance. We're only here 3 days out of the week. But by letting the boys in the cloud maintain and do all of the things you need to do to keep things perking, this is going to streamline everything. And some of the failures we've had along the way because equipment breaks down, you can count on that. When you're in the television or radio business, you know, especially when you do a remote telecast or broadcast, something's going to go wrong every now and then. And it's just the way it is. It's gizmos. And so these guys will be available constantly to keep an eye on these things. So access to this information is made available by grace. And as long as finances allow, these web assets will continue to be provided. Now, in an era of electronic communication, anyone who lacks biblical wisdom and who keeps on asking God for instruction should never find himself isolated from the teachings of the Word of God. That's the point. Not in the 21st century with all of these. I rattled off all of the electronic contrivances. I did that on purpose. No one should ever be found without a source for accessing divine wisdom. Not in the 21st century. In fact, the verse goes on to inform us that God will give to all generously and without reproach. And with the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit and positive volition, anyone is capable of growing in grace through Bible study. Anyone. Anyone who's interested. Now, the grace response to positive volition is emphasized next by the phrase, who gives to all generously and without reproach. Now, that's the New American Standard. The verb gives is the present active participle of the verb didymi, to give of one's own accord. And this is the mental attitude of grace and comes directly from the integrity of God. I want to back up here so you can see verse 5 as I use these terms here, to give here. If any one of you is deficient in wisdom, and you are, then he must keep on asking from the immediate source of God who keeps on giving to all generously. That's where we are in our text here. This is the mental attitude of grace, and it comes directly from the integrity of God. Now, remember why we, each as an individual born into the human race, are imputed human life. Remember this. You're under an order from God. Just the fact that you were imputed soul life to your biological life, creating human life at your physical birth. Why did God choose to impute life to you? The objective for every person that's ever been born on the face of this earth, the reason they have life is to become witnesses for the prosecution. There are no exceptions. Why? Because anyone may believe in Jesus Christ when they hear the gospel. And it doesn't matter what breed of cat you are. Wherever you live, whoever you are, what your family tree is, nothing. There are only two kinds of people in this world, believers and unbelievers. That's it. Far as God's concerned, he takes anybody. Even me. Even you. Anybody who says, I believe in Christ. They become candidates to acquire wisdom if they ask for it. It is God's desire that each of us becomes a witness for the prosecution and resolving Lucifer's appeal before the Supreme Court of Heaven. So it is God's desire that all come to salvation. We know this from 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Get saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Okay, if you're saved, you have the imputation of the Holy Spirit's ministries, indwelling and filling. He will teach you wisdom. And if that is true, then you'll be accessed to knowledge of the truth. You can decide to take it or leave it, but you'll have access to it. And so if you take that provision, which is by grace, then you can have that wisdom in your soul. You can use that to make good decisions from that position of strength. Now, the way that God makes sure that all mankind has a fair chance to become such a witness is His grace system of making Himself known to each individual. As a grace system, anyone may access the system. It's free will in every case. Free will to believe in Christ, free will to pursue truth, free will to retain truth, free will to apply truth. And that cycle results in wisdom. When you apply these things, that is wisdom that has become activated. And that's the Word of God, and that is alive and powerful. So the divine policy for mankind was made known initially through theophanies, rituals, teaching angels, prophets, development of the canon of Scripture. God took care of several systems to keep things perking until these canons could be completed, the Tanakh and the New Testament. Not the Book of Mormon, not Doctrines and Covenants, not the Quran, not the Veda, or any other worldly publication. Just the Bible. God the Son created the human race and provided our original parents with the power to think, the power to conclude and ultimately decide to place their personal faith in Him for salvation. That started the ball rolling. They became the first witnesses for the prosecution. And since then, each and every individual has been offered the opportunity to learn of God, His provision of salvation, and the imputation of eternal life by placing one's personal faith in Jesus Christ. And so the provision of His immutable Word is made available by means of grace. Where do we get this Bible? Well, we've studied that in a great bit of detail over time. We've seen how it developed, beginning with James, by the way, and then proceeding on to Revelation. His offer of salvation is provided by means of grace. That gets it started. You got to start somewhere. You have to have the Holy Spirit as a teacher. You can study the Bible as literature, but that's what you will interpret it as, literature. I don't know if you read the paper. Some of you boycott the Compost Dispatch because it's published by a bunch of liberals. Boy, are they. But I can tell you this, it's beneficial to know how the enemy thinks. And I get a full load of it every day, how they think. Read their editorial pages. By the way, our prospective new dear leader is under scrutiny by Mr. Comey again. It seems to be a big deal. I don't know if there is a big deal anymore, you know. In fact, I don't think anybody can make it in politics unless they're a criminal. It seems like they're all Teflon criminals. But you would not know about this in the Compost today. It's buried on like A14. And I heard on the TV this morning that none of the tweeters and the book facers, which are supposed to tell everybody what's going on anywhere, anytime, the book facers and the tweeters, not even mentioning this. I think they're big on what Fred Beaver's doing. Fred Beaver. Ain't that a trip? No, he and Taylor Swift, they got it figured out, those two. I'm telling you, salute free enterprise, man. If you can manipulate the masses, you can make it in this world. And those two have made millions of dollars giving the youngsters what they want. And I applaud that. Figure it out. Go for broke. Free to do it. Know your audience. Say, your agent, say, Mr. Agent, what's the general mentality of the group I'm trying to reach? They're a bunch of doofy. All you got to do is get a lyric that's about two lines long, say it 17 times with a lot of ooh-ahs, you'll make a million. It's all grace. It's all grace. Look, those people are making decisions. They get to do that. They're free. Everything is by means of grace. So if a person wants to learn how to deal with life's trials, challenges, difficulties, exigencies, and personal sin, human good and evil, he may freely consult divinely provided grace resources of instruction. So he can learn about the dark side and say, hey, I know how to capitalize on the dark side. Give them what they want. In verse 3, God recognizes the assaults that are typical of life in the devil's world, and they are a part of the angelic conflict. The ability to deal with its assaults is found only in His Word. So you know how to deal with it if you know doctrine. That man is destined to fail in his dealings with these assaults is understood by God. We're destined to fail. We will fail. Without the power of the Word of God in our souls, we're failures. We're born in sin, we commit sin, and we're easily led into the muck and mire of human good and evil, and we will do it if there's not restraint. And restraint comes from the Word of God. So two ideas follow the principle of God's grace. The first refers to divine generosity followed by the second without reproach. That's a good place to stop so we can resume at this point on our meeting on Wednesday evening. And so we'll stop at this point and get back at it on Wednesday. Now, Father, we thank you for the opportunity and privilege of studying these things today. It's our prayer that what we've noted gives us the strength of soul to understand that you will provide us your thought process. You will provide us with the information we need to be good soldiers for Christ in this invisible war. Motivate us toward the objective of the high ground as we lift our prayer in the name of Christ, our Savior. Charis human kai irene, plethunthae in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu himon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, shall we stand as we sing.